As you well know, I'm sure you know, it is Palm Sunday this morning. It has arrived. Easter is upon us. Woo! And with it, of course, April. Anybody a fool yesterday? I thought it was an April fool, I'll be honest with you, at 10 past three. Was it 10 past three in the morning? When our youngest came into our bedroom saying, "I've got stomachache," I was like, "Is this a joke?" Anyway, Tears said it wasn't, but still I was unconvinced. So I asked him later on in the day. That made him cry. So we had tears at 2 points yesterday, but nevertheless, we managed to cope. So we're heading into, as Kev has already mentioned this morning in our breaking of bread service, our devoted service, into an incredible time for the church. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ, as we're going to see today, enters Jerusalem and is hailed as King by the crowds. They shout, as we've already sung twice today already, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the King of David!" But by Friday, just a few days away, they're going to shout, "Crucify him." We're going to go from "Hosanna" to "Crucify him" in just a few days. So let's go ahead and read Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 11 together, and then I'll pray, and then we'll see what the Word's got to say to us this morning, what the Lord's going to reveal to us. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again want to thank you this morning for your word. And we pray, Father God, that you would just make our hearts fertile ground. Father, that we would be receptive to what you've got to say to us through it. We thank you again, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we have as your church to celebrate this Easter time. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just bless us and encourage us now as we look together. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What a moment this is, hey? Jesus has been preaching and teaching for the last 3 years around all the different areas and townships for a period of time that was set. And now it's time for, I guess, the crescendo, if you like, to use a musical term. You really have got to liven up a bit, you know? Just felt like that went flat, and it should have been better than that. But okay, I've given you a second warning now. Okay, so now is the time then for salvation's work to be completed for humanity. Well, what do I mean by that? Hebrews 9, verse 22 says this: "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." So here in this moment, salvation's work is coming to the crescendo. It's coming to the moment that has been set. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And that's exactly what is about to happen. Jesus knows that he is going to the cross. Remember, as we've looked at before as a church, Jesus is fully man, but he is also fully God. He is God in flesh. Okay? Now, you and I, as we well know, and if you were unaware of it this morning, I'm now about to tell you, you were born into sin. And you might say, Matt, how could you possibly say that about me? I have been perfect. And I would say, unfortunately, now you've just failed, because you said you were perfect. You see, nobody ever has to teach a child to be naughty, do they? Has anybody? No. No. What do we spend our lives doing as parents? Make sure you say please. Make sure you say thank you. Don't do that. Clean your room. You know, the list goes on. You feel like your entire life is just monotony. Anybody else is just the same thing over. We do not have to teach our children to be naughty. They will be naughty, just as you and I were as well. And what that shows us in its very simplest form right there is we, all of us, need a saviour. Romans 3:23, I quote it so often, you'll be able to tell me what it says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I would ask the question again this morning, perhaps you're new to us, are you not in the all? It always gets the same answer, deathly silence. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So now we know that we need a saviour. We need a saviour in order to come back into a relationship with God that sin has separated. We need a saviour. We needed Jesus to take our place on the cross to deal with our sin and our shame, because there was no possible way that we could do that off our own merit. God showed us that in history with Israel as he gave what we know as the Ten Commandments. Keep those and come to heaven. It's that simple. Nobody kept them. But one. And his name was Jesus. He was to be the perfect sacrifice for us, so that he would bear our sin and our shame. He would bear God's full wrath in those dark moments on the cross. But as we know, and we will celebrate God willing next Sunday, death cannot hold the author of life. Amen? Death cannot hold the author of life. And God willing, we'll celebrate that together, that joy and that life that we have in and through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back to Mark, as I've given you a foundation. Mark, as we now see, just explains to us what's going off in these moments. We see Jesus, the King of Kings. And it says in the heading of the NIV, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as King. So Jesus, we know, is the King of Kings. What does a King of Kings ride into Jerusalem? The King of Kings surely rides a stallion, does he not? Or at least be carried in a golden kind of something. Or at least be on a chariot that's golden and beautiful and just wow. Now, Jesus does something quite peculiar in these moments. The King of Kings requests a donkey. But not just a donkey. A donkey foal. A colt that's never been ridden before. I mean, that would be a moment, to be fair. Would it not? Somebody hold the donkey still. Hence why in Matthew it tells us that the mum donkey was also there. In order for that donkey to behave, it would be very difficult without its mother being there. If only parenting was that simple. Just making sure you're listening. I can clearly see you're not. So, as we now see, Jesus asking for this donkey, as Mark shows us, we have to go back to Zechariah 9 and verse 9. This prophecy that happens hundreds of years before this moment. Zechariah pens this as the Holy Spirit directs him. Little shout out to Wednesday evenings as we've been studying or looking at the Holy Spirit over the past few weeks. It's now the Easter break, but we encourage you to come after Easter as we carry on and look at the Holy Spirit. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. This is Zechariah 9, verse 9. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah, how could you know? How could you know? How did Jesus know that there was a donkey tied up just as they enter the city? How could he know? Because he's fully man and he's fully God. That's how he knew. That's how he knew that all the disciples needed to say was, the Lord needs it. Oh, okay. I mean, if somebody knocks on your door, you're going to need your car keys. You're going to need what? The Lord needs it. Don't try that, all right? Hasten to add. It's a really weird thing. It's an odd happening. But of course, we can see God's hand and his providence on this moment, his control of the situation. And then, as Zechariah pens, the king comes to you, righteous and lowly and riding on a donkey. Now, let me ask you this. How many righteous kings have we ever seen in history? I mean, a lot of them said they were. We've not seen many, have we? Well, I'd argue we've not seen any apart from this one here. How many righteous kings? Zero. How many kings would consider themselves... Hang on, I'll just read what Zechariah said again because it's a bit weird. Your king comes to you righteous and lowly. How many kings in history have we seen with a servant heart? How many kings in history have we seen righteous, perfect? How many kings in history have we seen lowly and humble? Well, I would argue but one. And his name, again, as I've already said, is Jesus. And he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah's prophecy here of this righteous king, a victorious king, a lowly, humble king riding on a donkey. Jesus was certainly righteous. He was able to go to the cross in our place because he was perfect. He was certainly victorious as he defeated sin and he defeated death on the cross. But lowly makes us wonder what's going off. The reality here now is that there is a much bigger picture in play. Remember, as I've said so many times, the Jews were looking for a king to overthrow the Roman Empire. That is the history of this moment. Is Jesus that one? They are looking for a king to overthrow the Romans. Jesus came, though, as the suffering servant. Not to overthrow the Roman Empire, but to do something far bigger. And that something far bigger is, again, completely opposite to what we would expect. The something bigger was, I would say to you, he came to save the whole world. You'd be like, yeah. But he came to die on a cross. And it seems so counter everything that our minds say. That surely does not mean that he's going to save the whole world. But of course, it absolutely does, because he is and he was perfect. So therefore, he could bear the full wrath of God in that moment so that you and me could get to God through Jesus. Not off our own merit, not off our own credentials, not off our own, I've been good, I've given to charity, I'm kind. No, we can get, that is not going to work. We can get to God only through Jesus. But listen, church, their expectations in this moment are dashed, seemingly. And our expectations now can say, well, maybe my expectations have been dashed. Maybe I'm expecting something more in this moment. Listen, our expectations, church, are in the now. Are they not? But God's are based in eternity. So it's very difficult for us to say, God, I expect you to do this. It doesn't seem to happen. Why haven't you met my expectations? Because I want it now. And God says, look, I'm based in the eternity. Does he not know better than we? Does he not know better than me? Does he not know better than you? Oh my word, he knows better. He knows better. So Jesus humbly came. He gave, he served, and he did it for one reason. Love. Love for who? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. For God so loved you. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. And the verse goes on to say that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. For God so loved you, he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to take your place on the cross. Because of love for you and for me, Jesus enters Jerusalem as king. Now listen, we see how fickle we, humanity, are, or how we can be, with the shouts that we see that are just a week apart, as I mentioned at the beginning. They shout Hosanna, and on Friday they shout Crucify Him. It is so opposite to everything that they're shouting in this moment, because their expectations are not met. But Jesus, knowing this, that still, even though he knew all of that, that everybody in this moment would reject him, even though they did this, Hosanna.
I've even got some of these, though.
You see, because in the moment, I can be absolutely just blown away with his majesty. Hosanna. Hosanna. But that's today. But God, you know, life is tough. And only a few days have passed. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not all you cracked up to be. So I was shouting Hosanna, but now I'm shouting Crucify Him. You see, because the heart is fickle. And my challenge to you this morning, because sometimes we think, oh, well, when we come to know Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. There's going to be no more issues. Life is going to be plain sailing, because unfortunately there are places that preach this. Church, that is not the case. Jesus himself said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen? In this world you will have trouble. It will not be easy. It is not going to be simple. But listen, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as we've been looking on Wednesday evenings, we receive the Holy Spirit as we ask Jesus into our life as our guarantee, our deposit that one day I will see my Saviour face to face. And it does not matter what this world throws at me. And I will have moments on the mountaintop and I will have moments in the valley, but my God is bigger than them all, amen? He is bigger than them all. And I know, even though I can be filled with fear, that God is in absolute control. I know that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And he is King of Kings. He has won. Jesus here is about to defeat sin and death. But my question still remains to you this morning. Does Jesus meet your expectations? They turned their backs on him. My question for us then is, what is our idea of king? Life with Jesus isn't always going to be simple. But if we are looking for a king, a saviour who has won, a saviour who humbly gave, a saviour who came to serve and love, if we're looking for forgiveness and a relationship with a holy and perfect God who will never leave us nor forsake us, promising that he will be there through thick and thin, on the mountaintops and in the valleys, then church, look no further. Jesus, who declares in John 14 and verse 6, says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." That's incredible. But he goes on to say, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, these people in this moment believed that he could be the king. Their expectations weren't met, and on Friday, they're going to shout, "Crucify him." Church, what about us? What about us? Do we know we worship a king who is in control? Do we know we worship a king who loves us unconditionally? Listen, church, we have an opportunity, if you don't yet know Christ as your own personal saviour, to come into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And listen, we have to be in a position where we are willing to lay it all at our Saviour's feet, not just for the week, but to give our all to him who is able. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you that as we are celebrating together Palm Sunday, Father, we know that Friday, which seems dark, is only just around the corner. But Father, we celebrate because Sunday is so close to. Sin and death will be defeated. Our Saviour is risen. And we just pray, Lord, that you will bless us this Easter week as we celebrate together as a church. Father, we look forward to our Good Friday service with expectation, Lord, that you would just richly bless us as we meet in your name, as we share together, and as we remember all that you've done for each and every single one of us. And Father, this morning, if there is anybody in here that does not yet know you as their own personal Saviour, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, might move and that lives might be changed. Heavenly Father, our prayer is that everybody would come to know you as their own personal Saviour. And Father, as your church, we pray, Lord, that you would just empower us to share this good news of a Saviour who was willing to give his life in our place. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, this morning we tell you that we love you. But Lord, we know that is only possible because you first loved us. Father, as we continue in our worship now together, as we have a time of fellowship, we pray, Lord, that you will bless us. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.